Okay, so this Shiloh that we're going to talk about today is one of the most common contemporary questions that comes up when we think about Hanukkah, because Baruch Hashem, today, Bli Ayin Hara, the Rebbe Shlomo has gifted us the ability to travel and travel great distances in these amazing tin cans that they call Dreamliners and fly really, really far. And we do that in just, on a whim and in a sense in an unprecedented way, because it used to be that people would travel great distances and spend nights and weeks out of their home out of necessity, you know, schlepping in a buggy or in a horse on a dirt road somewhere in Poland, you know, in the mud, in the snow. And now we're getting on a plane and we're flying, you know, you're going to Tokyo, someone's going to Israel. Baruch Hashem, a great gift. So the question is, how do we address our chiyuv and our opportunity, our obligation for Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah when we are traveling? So the first thing that you mentioned earlier when you described your situation that the rabbi told you was this potential for lighting Chanukah candles using electric lights. Now traditionally, as you saw in the Gemara told us in Masechet Shabbos that the ideal material for Hadlakas HaMenorah is shemen, and specifically shemen zayis, olive oil. Okay, so then, so over the past many centuries, many people have also fulfilled their menorah, their Chanukah obligation with wax candles, and some have argued, although today there are, you know, ways of thinking about this in terms of cost and other priorities, but some have argued that perhaps in a case where the light and the candle that you would light is better quality and would burn nicer than the type of olive oil and wicks that you had, which today is not so common, but in theory, maybe there would even be some preference for Hadlakas Neiros with wax candles. But all things being equal, today, Baruch Hashem, you can go into any grocery store, you can go to a Judaica store, you can get high quality olive oil, and you can get very good quality wicks, and that would be your ideal. But not everything is always, you know, so simple. So the question is it permitted to light with another kind of light, like an electric light? Now, we're going to break this down into two. The traditional poskim that we have in this page, in these Mar Makomos, who are dealing with this Shaila, for the most part, for the last 100 years, dealt with incandescent bulbs. Today, we have new kinds of bulbs, LEDs, and those are much more complicated, but as we will see, even there's room to have a discussion. So we're going to see shortly. Okay.
We can discuss it.
So as you saw, one of the earliest people to discuss this Shaila is on page 7, the Heliger Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis in the Beis Yitzchak, where already in the end of the 20th century, they are contending in Europe. He's writing in Europe. This is in Yoredeia, where he's discussing using gaslicht or elektrischlicht. Right? That's the Yiddish for gas or electric. Can you use that for Neiros Shabbos? And what about for Neiros Chanukah? So there are parallels between Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah. And one of those is just the bracha, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Mm-hmm. Some people say lahadlik ner Chanukah, but it's the same thing. So Reb Yitzchak Shmelke says, well, maybe you could compare these cases. And he says, you cannot. He paskins that when it comes to Shabbos candles, that you can use gas or electric, but for Chanukah candles, you may not. Now, are you surprised that you can use electric lights for Shabbos candles? Not really, because if the primary function of Shabbos candles is to provide a warm, wonderful atmosphere of Shalom Bayis, or like other Rishonim say, that maybe it's so you shouldn't trip on things in your home, God forbid, and fall, so you have lights also in the bathroom, also in the hallway, so that can be accomplished with any illumination. Now, Chazal formulated that it's a special obligation with a bracha, but maybe you could understand that you could open the door potentially more. The question becomes, and this is halacha l'maisa, this is the common practice, to light incandescent Shabbos candles with a bracha. think this is the consensus of contemporary poskim. You're traveling somewhere, you can light Shabbos candles with the old school. LED, not so simple, because there you have no ash, you have no actual fire, but certainly and there are some poskim who are matir even on Shabbos candles. Reverend Moniz, we'll get to in the end, quotes from Rav Yashiv to that effect. But at least when it comes to incandescent, the consensus of poskim is you can light that for Shabbos candles with a bracha. Says Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, you may not use them for Hanukkah candles. Why not?
For Shabbos, is there any inyan of a flame?
So I would say it certainly is more mehudar and less of an issue to light it with a proper candle. There certainly is preference.
But when they analyzed the permissibility of electricity, was that even a question?
So
what would be the basis of saying, no, you couldn't?
So first of all, is a burning filament, is that ash? So that's a good question. Does that constitute fire? And do you need fire? So, assumably, at least in the times of Chazal, we'll get this, I guess we can already jump the gun to Rav Kook. Rav Kook said, and you saw this, it's quoted by Rav Neria in that previous page from the Moadei Araya. Rav Kook said you could not light Hanukkah candles because electricity did not exist at the time of Takanas Chazal of the institution of Hanukkah. When the sages instituted the requirement to light Hanukkah lights, to kindle lights, there was no such thing as an electric light. And therefore, he says, when that was framed in the time of Chazal, it was, so to speak, fixed in time, and it's never going to be changed. And you cannot, therefore, according to Rav Kook, for Hanukkah purposes. So you could argue, we know that Hanukkah candles, that was the Takanas Chazal. It's an ancient Takana, but it is an enactment. A Takana is an enactment. There was a formal enactment. Rav Kook, he quotes a suffix you saw in the bottom of that piece about Shabbos candles, but you could certainly acknowledge that there's room to say that they did not enact a decree to turn on electric lights, because they didn't exist. So perhaps even the Takanas Chazal of Neros Chanukah, Neros Shabbos would be excluded, which is the suffix, the doubt that Rav Kook has in the bottom of the piece. So it's not so simple, and it is certainly preferable if you have a choice between lighting an incandescent bulb or lighting a tea light. It's certainly better to light a tea light. But a lot of times that's not a choice. You're in a hotel, at least, I mean, you have a lot of travel experience. How many times can you go to a hotel and they'll tell you, no problem, you can light a fire in your hotel room? So I will tell you that for many years, when we first came to Chicago and our children were younger, we had a beautiful practice because, you know, we don't have too much family within, I don't know, 700 miles. So for Shabbos Hanukkah, many times, we took our children to a hotel in Milwaukee, not far from the shul. And it's a beautiful shul. Rabbi Kalmar is the rabbi of the shul. It's within walking distance. They used to have a hotel, Residence Inn. Now, I don't get paid by the Residence Inn. And they sold that property, built a new Residence Inn, and it doesn't have the same thing. So you can't do this. But in the old days, in the old Residence Inn up in Glendale, Wisconsin, do you know that the Residence Inn there had a fireplace? You could buy fire logs. So we would go there, we would light Shabbos candles, actual Shabbos candles in the fireplace, and then when we would go for Shabbos Hanukkah, we would light Hanukkah candles in the hotel because you had a fireplace. You could even buy, in the old days, you could buy fire logs from the front desk and you could make like a fire with the kids. It was fun. So that would be the ideal way to light Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles in a hotel where they have a fireplace. Most hotels, where you go, they don't let you light. So they're going to give you, the best thing is, you take your old school incandescent nightlight, you plug it in, you say the bracha, you turn it on, amazing. That's for Shabbos. Okay, but what about Hanukkah? So says the Beis Yitzchak, he doesn't like Hanukkah candles with electric for two reasons. Number one, he says it's supposed to be with shemen zayis. Ideally, it's with olive oil. And number two, there's no pirsum hanes. There's no celebration that people are, they're not perceiving any miraculous recognition here because you always light with electric lights. Says Rav Avadya Yosef Zecher Tzadik Levracha on the Echad Adas. This is the Chelek Dalet, which you saw at the end. Rav Avadya takes Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, so to speak, he takes him to task. And he says, I don't agree with either of those problems. Says, number one, you're telling me Shemen Zayis is ideal. Of course it's ideal. But does that mean that any other method is inadmissible? Not true. If a person doesn't have olive oil, they can light with canola oil. And if they don't have canola oil, they can use wax candles. Not only that, the Mishnah told us, that you saw, the Mishnah said, any oils, it's not true for Shabbos, but for Chanukah, any wicks, any oils. So that first argument, he says, from the Beis Yitzchak, doesn't hold water. So far, lawyers, you agree, concur?
Yes.
Concur. Not a good argument, says Rav Avadia. Number two, there's no pirsum hanes. You're not publicizing the miracle. Why? Because you always light electric candles, so you're going to light electric candles again. Says Rav Avadia, I don't understand. When they established that you lit candles in the times of Chazal, what did they tell you to use? A ner. The word ner in Talmudic language means a lamp. Picture Aladdin. It's a little dish that has one opening where you stick the wick, the other thing where you spill the oil in. That's a ner. That is the word ner. It meant, usually it was made out of cheres, clay, which is why the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about in Shabbos that it could become muktzah because it becomes disgusting. A clay lamp filled with greasy oil and you burnt it, it could get very gross. What did they use to light their homes? Neros, lamps. What did they use to light Hanukkah? Neros. Rav Avadia says, that wasn't any different. Of course, the placement is different. In the times of the Talmud, it was outdoors or it was at the edge of the house opposite the mezuzah. But Rav Avadia says, I don't buy either argument of Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes to disqualify electric lamps. That's the first question. Second challenge to electric lamps is Rav Cook's argument. Rav Cook's argument was it didn't exist at the time of Chazal. So the counter argument to that is, yes, but if it still constitutes light, if it constitutes Eish, for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, you violate Mavir if you heat up metal super, super, super hot for the purpose of making it stronger. So maybe you could say it's true it didn't exist at the time of Chazal, but who says you can't fulfill the obligation? He quotes in that piece, Rav Cook quotes from his brother, and this issue is also raised, interestingly, by the Tzitz Eliezer, Blazer Yehuda Waltenberg, who passed away just recently, maybe 15 years ago. He raised a different issue when it comes to electric lights, which is that the way that the filament is structured, if you ever look carefully inside the bulb, there are these little prongs that hold the filament, and then the filament moves in a circle, kind of like it's carried from one prong. It's like hanging almost. If you ever look at it carefully, there's a little filament, it moves around, and that filament, it gets red hot, it glows. So he's wondering, Reb Lazer Waldenberg, he's wondering, maybe that shouldn't be qualified as a ner. Maybe that should be called an avuka, a torch, which is disqualified. So I was thinking about this the other night because I have one son who he likes to light his Hanukkah candles with these long cotton wicks. We call them fireballs because he gets very excited because when you light it on fire, it makes like a huge, you know, I don't think Chazal were super excited about this one, but if it makes him excited about Hanukkah candles, Gesundheit, you know, you want to light, we call them the fireballs, you can light the fireballs. But what I noticed when you lit these very long wicks is that the fire, it actually, because the wicks are pretty much soaked with oil, the fire is kind of like a long, like a fireball. It's a long flame which is drawn out all across this wick. And I was thinking to myself, that's interesting that Chazal never said that the fire has to be like my Chanukah, where you know you have the little thing on the top and it looks perfect. There's, so my son, he likes one of them. I don't want to say which one. He likes it to be like flying all over the place. Chazal didn't say that that's not okay. And in a certain sense, it kind of looks like a filament. It's a long, stringy item. And the fact that it's long and stringy doesn't mean that it's not called one nair. So that would be the counterpoint to the Tzitz Eliezer's argument that a filament is like an avuka, a torch. The answer is no. It's just one long string which is illuminating all along the same way that my son's cotton thing goes along. That's the third issue, or second issue, I guess, two and a half issues. So we have the Beis Yitzchak's challenges, Rav Cook's two challenges. Now let's talk about Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, wait a second, you know the bracha. It's lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. You have to light it. Well, when you flip the switch on the electric candle, on the electric thing, is that called lahadlik? Is that lighting it? He says, maybe that's not lighting. Maybe that's grama, causation. We know that in many areas of halacha, grama is significant. So if I take a baseball and I throw it, or better yet, I'm going to do this. I take a shoe and I throw it at that chair and I move the chair. That is called grama, right? I cause the chair to move by throwing the shoe at it. There is a delay between when I threw it, when it hit the chair, it caused the chair to move using that extension.
So, did you do it or she did it?
Oh, so that's kind of the question. Exactly. So this is very important in halacha when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. If you look at the tzomet mechanisms in a lot of Israeli, quote-unquote, kosher appliances, like, I don't know, they have scooters and all kinds of other things that are necessary, medical devices for certain people, they're built on this premise of grama, of indirect causation. So when you flip on the switch, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, special Chicago connection we mentioned because of the Rabbi Menachem B. and Rebbetzin Hannah Sachs, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank wonders maybe that's grama. Now this is a huge controversy. It's a huge controversy. And one of the biggest places where it came up, believe it or not, is actually in Hilchos Pesach. In what context would this question of pressing a button to turn on a machine be an issue? The answer is yes! The controversy of machine matzahs. Matzahs are meant to be baked lishma. There's a whole question about what the nature of that lishma is, that it shouldn't become chametz, that it should be l'shem matzah, right? There's two elements of it. When we grew up, there was a shtibel that we davened at. There was matzah baking in Erev Pesach. Everybody's yelling, l'shem matzah mitzvah! It should be baked for that intention. Well, if you're in the Horowitz Margareten or Streitz or Manischewitz, if you're in the factory, there's one little guy who goes, beep! And then the whole thing turns on. So some poskim 100 years ago said, don't use machine matzahs for that reason, because they think that you cannot invoke and imbue lishma on your matzahs by flipping a switch. However, the consensus, as far as I understand it, less from Rav Schechter and many others, is that this is not the case. That when you flip a switch, there's no time delay, there's no lag, and there's no indirect causation. It is direct. You flip the switch, you open that circuit, and you turn it on. And so, yes, you could say, lahadlik ner, you're lighting this candle just by flipping the switch. And that's true, which is why many people, they eat machine matzah at their Seder. Because they assume that you can infuse the lishma by flipping the switch. Flipping the switch is just a mechanism, it's an extension of you. The mechanical process that's happening is an extension of you. Legally, you're totally responsible for that in all aspects. That's not grama. If you were to turn on a switch on Shabbos, you would not say that that's grama, which is, by the way, why a couple of years ago there was a big controversy about this thing called the grama switch and whether or not it actually constitutes a grama. So says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, maybe it's grama. The Maisa, the poskim, consensus of poskim is, yes, it's an action. It's not a grama. And therefore, you could say, lahadlik. You are illuminating. You're being madlik. Rav Avadya quotes from the Ragachavar, maybe you can't say lahadlik. The consensus is that could also be lahadlik. Here's the next concern. Rav Avadya quotes from the Levush Mordechai that perhaps the reason why you shouldn't use electric candles is because the model for the menorah is the Beis HaMikdash. This is what many early commentaries, many Rishonim point out, and that's why, according to many, when we sing Haneiros Halalu Anachnu Madlikim Al Anisa V'Al, and it flows, right? Ve'ein Lono Rishus Lehishtamish Bahem. Why do you not have a permission? Why are you not allowed to use them? So many commentaries say, the same way that you are not allowed to get personal benefit from the lights in the Beis HaMikdash, you are not allowed to get personal benefit from the lights on your Chanukiah. Now, your Chanukiah, to be clear, is not a halachic menorah like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, which had seven branches. You are actually prohibited from creating a mock menorah. You're not allowed to make an artistic seven-branch candelabra. If a woman has the practice of lighting seven candles on Friday night, she actually may not use a menorah that has seven candles. She has to figure something out. So, It's not exactly like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, but in certain respects, it's like it was in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Rav Ovadia, quoting from Levush Ma'ar Mordechai and some others, they say, I don't want to use electric because it's not similar to the ways in the Beis HaMikdash. How was it in the Beis HaMikdash? Oil. It was, of course, olive oil. It was Shemez Ayach Zach, Kosas Lamor. It was special, high quality, premium grade oil. That's not similar to electric. So if the model of your Hanukkah lighting is supposed to be patterned after the lighting in the Mikdash, you don't have that. So then the counter argument to that is, it might be true in some elements of Halacha, but we see that the number of the candles is not the same. It's obviously not the same menorah, so it might be somewhat loosely patterned, but does that mean that if you have a fire, it can't count? Here's a further argument, and this is what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, interestingly, introduces. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, okay, let's say you say, okay, it doesn't have to be the exact model that has to be like Shemen, but wait a minute. We do know that in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a requisite amount of oil. There was a shear, which was why it was a miracle in the first place, because they had only a shear for one night. They had an amount that was sufficient for one night. And it's true also for today. One of the opinions of the early commentaries that we've shown of the phrase in the Gemara, Mishetichlachama Achetichla Regal Nashuk, from sundown until the feet are out of the marketplace, is how long, like the Gemara says, Lishira, how long your candles have to burn. So let's say it's a half hour. That's the general consensus. 30 minutes. So you need to have enough oil. You have to have enough fuel, at least the candles, they have to be long enough to last for a half hour. So says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'm a little concerned about electricity. You don't have a fuel source. You don't have a measurement of electricity bottled up in your house. Most of us don't have a generator. He has an interesting observation. Oh, Joel, you're already, see this, Baruch Hashem, you already, did you see this tshuva before? You thought about this before. So this exactly, that brings us to the battery. So says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, where is the source of the electricity? It's in a power station somewhere else. So maybe you could argue that the electric lights, they are deficient because you don't have the shear, the requisite amount of oil. Forget the fact that it's not oil domel mikdash. You need to have the right shear. So now, say some poskim, and this is what you saw in the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, Rav Chaim David Halevi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You saw this in page 9 in his tshuvas, Aseh Lecha Rav. He says, let's say, this gets closer to us, let's say you're lighting on an airplane. Let's say in theory, on the matos, on the airplane, they don't give you permission to light a candle, in theory. Now, this tshuva was probably written in the 60s or 70s, when in those days, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you could smoke on the airlines, right? So if you could smoke on the airplane, you could light Hanukkah candles on the airplane, you could have a barbecue. I don't know what was going on in those days, but apparently, some people...
They didn't think that much about healthiness.
I don't want to say healthy. Exactly. They thought that smoking was healthy. But anyway, so he says, what about going on the plane? If they won't let you light, he says like this, Tuchal ishtamish b'ner chashmali, you can use a ner chashmali electric light, hamuzan bebateria, that is powered by a battery. Having it powered by a battery enables you to keep the fuel source and answer the problem of the Har Tzvi, because you have all of your fuel in this battery in your flashlight. That's what we call a flashlight. So according to the Aseh Lecha Rav, your best bet is to use a flashlight. So now, with all of this, all the dust settling, Rav Avadya concludes in the Yechav Adas, he thinks that a person who is lighting Hanukkah candles with electric lights, this is in Yechav Adas, you saw it in front of you, in Chelek, where in Chelek Dalid Simen Lamed Ches, his conclusion is, he thinks, Ein Yotzim Yedei Chovas Mitzvos Hadlakas Neiros Hanukkah Aidei Hadlakas Chanukiyah Chashmalis. You cannot fulfill your obligation because of all the concerns collectively that we talked about. He's worried about this. If you don't have anything else, yadlikena below bracha. You should light it without a bracha. He thinks that you're really not in fulfillment. But many others assume that you are in fulfillment. And not only that, many others assume, especially if you're lighting with an incandescent bulb with a battery, that you can light it with a bracha. Now, if you're traveling, there are other related questions of, wait a second, maybe somebody can light for you in your house and stay there for a half hour, and they can be your agent, they can be your shliach. Let's say you have a daughter who can go to your house and light for you, so then that's great. Then she'll fulfill the mitzvah in your house. Then the question becomes, well, if you're going to be away overnight, can she still light there? So these are like local questions of traveling. The other element of this that relates to the plane situation is the plane called your bias? But as you saw from the Aseil HaRav, many posts can assume that either you don't need a bias and you could light in the terminal with your electric lamp, or even if you don't need a bias, but this is constitute the bias because this is where you're spending the night in this compartment. And so halacha lemaisa, I think the consensus of most poskim against Rav Avadya is that you may light with an electric chanukiah with a bracha. Because if you check off each of these concerns, you're left with the fact that you are doing the act of hadlaka, you are burning a heat source, an actual heat source that is nikar, that it is clearly for Chanukah.
But it needs to be incandescent light.
So that's the last wrinkle here, which is that everything that we're saying now is that it's got to be an incandescent heat source. So let me bring you, this is fascinating, we'll close with this, a really fascinating tshuva. Now, this is not a traditional tshuva, but it's a fascinating psak halacha. And we'll conclude with this. I'm part of a WhatsApp group, which I am sharing with you on the screen, but I'm not going to let you see it because I don't want you to see the actual names of the person in the Shiloh. This is a WhatsApp group with Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon Shlita, one of the great rabbinic authorities living in Israel, who is very aware and in tune. Rav Rimon, R-I-M-O-N. Books, yes. He does many, many svarim. So he has a WhatsApp group with a few hundred rabbis with questions that come up, and people send him, and then he responds. So a question came up from a rabbi I know about someone I actually know who is incarcerated this Chanukah. And the rabbi asked Rav Rimon about the permissibility of an electric menorah in this particular situation. So Rav Rimon responds, the case that I'll get to in a second, the case that he says is that, again, this is not, I'm just telling you what the Shiloh was, that the electric lights that he has, that they are able to get, is an LED menorah. Mm-hmm. It used to be, in the old days, remember those like hospital menorahs with the orange candles? Mm-hmm. So that was all incandescent. But now, it's probably very difficult to find an incandescent menorah. It's very difficult to find because everything is LED for economic reasons. So the rabbi says to Rav Rimon what to do in this situation. So he says that even though what he calls the Pashtus Hadin is that you need incandescent bulbs. Number one, he quotes Rav Yashiv, who thinks that for Shabbos candles, even LEDs are acceptable. Aye, but that doesn't help you for Chanukah. So even though Rav Rimon says he personally does not agree with Rav Yashiv, and he thinks you cannot make a bracha on Shabbos candles if they are LED, you should light them, but you can't make a bracha on them. In this mitzias, in this difficult situation, perhaps, maybe you could see it differently. He starts off by quoting many of the sources that we did, that we should be more stringent on Chanukah and that we should require actual incandescent lights. Of course, oil and then incandescent lights. And therefore, he says, you need this substance. However, he suggests, b'mitzias kazu bekela, in this case where the person, Rachmana Litzlan, is incarcerated, he should definitely light Chanukah candles. Best thing it should be is he should have an incandescent. If he can't get that, remember, incandescent means near issue base, or just a flashlight. An incandescent flashlight with a bulb. But even that's not so easy to get today. So if you can't get them incandescent, he has a chiddush, that even though lechatchila, the person should light the LED bulb and not recite a bracha, he thinks that if the person really wants to make a bracha, there is makom lahakol b'metzias tuchukazu. He says, certainly the best thing is to get a proper, you know, incandescent flashlight. But if he can't, interestingly, he doesn't explain his justification, but it sounds like, I wonder if you add like the element to the fact that the person, they're onus, and maybe there's the brachas on the light. I don't know. You have to ask Rav Yimon for follow-up, but this is all I know. This was the answer that was given, that the person should light the LED without a bracha. But if the person makes a bracha, you shouldn't yell at them. And you can understand how somebody who's unfortunately incarcerated, they're looking for every connection to the Muslim, every light. So maybe that's why they're motivated. But you see how all the way from the time of the Takanas Chazal to the present day, literally this Shiloh just came in this Chanukah, this issue of how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a live issue. So the question is, why do the Judaica houses sell all the LED Chanukiot? I have no idea. I suspect it's because that's what the suppliers give them, and that if we wanted to address this issue, we should have some kind of union, and we should have a campaign on social media, bring back incandescent menorahs, and maybe for next year, we can get the manufacturers to provide something for us. Okay, does a person, let's say if the guy is incarcerated in solitary, does he have a mitzvah pierce on the nace? The answer is yes. The same way that if, God forbid, a person was alone in their home and no one saw their candles, if you were following the Takanas Chazal to light at the appropriate time, that is the pirsum hanes for you, even if it's for nobody else around, and that's consistent with the practice that we have of lighting indoors. Perhaps at the time when people used to light outdoors, then if you were to light indoors, maybe you wouldn't be yotze. But now that they have given us that extra, that secondary avenue to fulfill the mitzvah, even indoors, we see that there is an element of presuming nisa for you, even if nobody else is seeing it.
Second question is, if I took a pot and yes, I put 8 wicks in it.
Yes.
But it all drew from one common source, oil.
Yes.
That would not be.
It would not be acceptable, except if you took that pot and you put a lid on it and you put 8 different holes in it.
So that's then, the battery?
Exactly. So, well, the battery
is all one source.
Exactly. So your battery is going to be your...
one pot of oil.
Exactly. But you are dividing it out. You're subdividing it out with the electric candles if you have a battery-operated Chanukah, Chanukiah.
And the third question...
Last question, because then I'm going to run...
In an airplane, the source is battery?
So... I'm assuming that if you're lighting in an airplane, yeah, so that I don't think, yeah, in theory, if you brought an incandescent airplane menorah and you plugged it into the outlet, which now they have at the seat, that would be good, like the battery, because you're drawing on your, now, you could ding zach on that and you could say, well, it's not your fuel source, because that, exactly, that's the engine which is generating it, so I'm not sure. You're better off with the batteries, even in that case. I would totally do with the batteries in that case. Last question.
A chiresh, a shota, and a katan.
Yes, they can't light the candles.
What about an iver? Is there a fulfillment of the mitzvah to see?
Oh, so maybe that person doesn't get the roet, doesn't able to see the candles, yeah, but he still gets the mitzvah of lahadlik. He still gets the mitzvah of seeing it.
But is there a mitzvah to madlik if there's no mitzvah to
see? There is. Sure there is, because you're being...
They're part of the same.
Well,
lighting in order to see.
Well, I'm not sure that we would say that. We're lighting to commemorate the miracle. This is a Takanas Chazal that remembers the nace. And therefore, even if the person can't see the candles, but their action of lighting, that's very much in fulfillment of the whole notion that hadlaka osa mitzvah. Even if it's kafsa, even if it is extinguished a nanosecond after you lit it, kafsa ein zakakla, because it's the mitzvah of lighting. And therefore, a person, even if, God forbid, they're a saginar, they would still be yotzei the mitzvah.